invite you to be seated. Well, welcome to Holy Week. I like to call it Holy Moly Week because there is just so much going on. Give you a little preview. On Thursday, we have a special service where all four of our pastors are going to be sharing reflections on the Last Supper. Then we'll have two services on Good Friday, 7 p.m. traditional service, 8:30 contemporary service. And since both of these services are quiet and reflective, the best opportunity for kids is to take an interactive journey to the cross with our children's ministry. And that starts at 7 p.m. on Friday. There won't be any services on Saturday, but then on Sunday, we will celebrate with six services. We have invitation cards made up so that you can share this information and invite others to join you. There's going to be some additional parking at Owen Elementary with shuttle transportation. If you're a member of Good Shepherd, it would be a tremendous act of love to park at Owen and create some space for people who might be visiting for the first time. And if you haven't yet told us what service you're going to and how you'd like to serve, please do that on the sheets outside the worship center. With all of these worship opportunities, we need all the help that we can get. And we'd love to have you be a part of sharing the gospel with others and making an impact in people's lives this Holy Week. Well, Holy Moly Week, it begins today with Palm Sunday. And we're going to be reading the account in Matthew chapter 21. If you like, you can follow along with our new Good Shepherd app. One of the cool features of this app is that you can open up the Bible right from your phone and read along with us. This app also allows you to listen to sermons, give offerings, contact us, share prayer requests, visit our website, keep up to date with our Facebook page. It's really exciting. So if you haven't yet, make sure to download it for free on iTunes or Google Play and begin experiencing mobile ministry with us. As we transition into the message time, I invite you to either use your Bible or your app and turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. I also invite you to open up your prayer and action guides and pull out the green sheet that says sermon notes and response card. This is another communication tool. There's a spot where you can jot down scriptures and ideas from the message. And then at the end, I'd love to hear what you feel like God is saying to you and how God is calling you to respond. We're going to open our time together in prayer. Let's pray. God, we come here today from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we are at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We're in a series called Holy Discontent. And our God is not content to just sit back and do nothing while even one of his children are lost and hurting. And God's holy discontent reaches a tipping point during Holy Week. And it all starts on Palm Sunday. This morning, we're going to take a journey with Jesus. Our journey will be broken up into three different parts. First, we're going to ride with Jesus into Jerusalem. Second, we're going to visit the temple with Jesus. And then we will encounter a peculiar fig tree with Jesus. Each of these episodes reveal good news about God's holy discontent. On the other hand, each of these episodes expose how God's holy discontent sometimes clashes with our human discontent. And with every episode, we'll be challenged with this question: how will we respond to Jesus? Our band is going to wrap this journey with song. And every time we sing, we're going to wave our palm branches together. Did everybody get palm branches? Let me see them. All right, here we go.
The King will come to reign.
The King will come to reign on David's throne. The man.
sing of the coming King.
Of our journey, we join Jesus as he rides into Jerusalem. This is found in Matthew 21, verses 1 through 9. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" Jesus' ride into Jerusalem had the feel of a victory rally and parade. Chicago recently hosted a big victory rally and parade after the Cubs won the World Series. And it was a chance for fans to celebrate the big victory of their team. Well, in Jesus' time, crowds held victory rallies and parades to celebrate the return of their king after a big military victory. Instead of waving W's, they waved palms, which were an ancient symbol of victory and triumph. They would spread their coats on the road before him as a sign of surrender to his leadership and power. The Jewish people in Israel were hopeful for a military victory. The Roman Empire had conquered Israel, took over their land, and imposed heavy taxes on the people. They were struggling, drowning under Roman occupation. Centuries earlier, God had made a promise to the people of Israel through the prophets, saying that he would send a Messiah who would save the people. Many interpreted this promise to mean that God would send a military leader who would obliterate their enemies and change their political condition. And the people who greeted Jesus on that Palm Sunday, they wanted Jesus to be this kind of Savior. They shouted, "Hosanna," which means "save us." And they waved palm branches in anticipation for how he would bring victory over Rome. But the story is kind of funny because Jesus picked a really strange animal for his victory ride. Warriors rode on stallions. Stallions are big and intimidating. But Jesus chose to ride on a donkey. Donkeys were humble work animals for everyday people. More than that, he rode on a colt, a baby donkey, a young donkey. Kind of reminds me of how Jesus came to earth in the first place. You might remember, he didn't come to earth as a big, scary, mighty king. He came as a humble, gentle baby. And he enters Jerusalem the same way, riding on a humble, gentle baby animal. Just for fun, here's a picture to show the contrast between a stallion and a young donkey. Do you get the sense? Jesus is giving a message here. He's going to be a different kind of king, a different kind of savior. His goal would not be intimidation or domination. His goal would be the humble service on behalf of all people. When the crowds realized Jesus wasn't going to be the savior they wanted, they quickly turned their backs on him. And within a week, they went from shouting, "Hosanna," to shouting, "Crucify him." Like the crowds who greeted Jesus, we sometimes wrestle with that tension of the Savior we want and the Savior we need. Because even though Jesus wasn't going to be the Savior the people wanted, he would be the Savior that we really needed. You see, while the people thought Rome was their big enemy, Jesus knew we have bigger enemies. Sin and death. Those are the things that separate us from God and cause all the fighting and unrest in our world. And while the people wanted Jesus to change their political condition, Jesus was far more concerned with our spiritual condition. He wanted to tear down every wall that divides us from God and from each other so that he could bring us back into true life with God forever. That kind of victory could not be accomplished by killing more people. That kind of victory could only be accomplished by the Son of God humbly laying down his life for us so that he could pay the punishment for all of our sin and break the power of death forever. This morning, I got awful news. One of our beloved members, Phyllis Davis, she came to worship last night. And then on her way home, she was in a terrible car accident and died. It's absolutely devastating. And we don't know much of the information yet, and so we'll keep you posted on how we can support this family and when the services are going to be. But it's moments like this when I'm so thankful that Jesus loved us enough to be the Savior that we really need so that he could offer forgiveness and eternal life to all who believe in him. And I know without a doubt that Phyllis believed in him. So like those crowds, we wrestle sometimes with the tension between the Savior we want and the Savior we need. We might want a Savior who will give us success, who will fix certain issues in our life, a Savior who can arrange our lives the way we might want them to be. While Jesus cares about the details of our life, what we need most is a king who can save us from sin and death. Surrendering our lives to Jesus and asking for his salvation, that's the true starting point for real and lasting transformation in our lives. So the question is, how will we respond to Jesus?
Saves the Lamb of God.
second leg of our journey. We join Jesus as he visits the temple in Jerusalem. It's found on Matthew 21, verses 10 through 17. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise?'" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Martin Luther had an experience similar to Jesus. We've mentioned how this year marks the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation. If you don't know the story, Martin Luther, he was a monk with the Catholic Church, which was the only church at the time. And once his order invited him to travel to the holy city of Rome, which was the center of religious life at that time. And Luther was so excited. This was like going to Disneyland for a monk. I mean, he was so excited to see the holy, thriving spiritual life of God's people. And yet Luther was absolutely horrified by what he saw in Rome. He was disturbed by the luxurious living, the loose morals, and the lack of interest in spiritual things among the monks that he visited with. And these experiences birthed a holy discontent inside of Luther and a desire to bring reform within the church. In our reading, Jesus visited Jerusalem, which was the holy city for God's people. And the temple in Jerusalem functioned as the center of religious life. Yet Jesus was absolutely horrified by what he saw in the temple. The religious life that he witnessed there was self-serving, immoral, and exclusive. To give you a little bit of background, lots of the Jewish people did not live in Jerusalem, so they had to travel many miles to offer sacrifices in the temple. Their custom was to offer animal sacrifices. Well, it's kind of hard to bring an animal on a long journey. So they would set up stations in the temple where people could buy animals to sacrifice. In order to buy in the temple, however, you needed to have temple currency, which most travelers didn't have. So they set up tables where you could exchange currency. Now, over time, these systems became corrupt. Since travelers didn't always know what the going exchange rates were, they were easily ripped off. And since the travelers, they didn't have any other option except to buy in the temple, there was no supply or demand. And the sellers could jack up their prices as high as they want and gain a huge profit. By doing this, they oppressed their people and they excluded the poor from worshiping. Worse, they set up shop in the court of the Gentiles, which was supposed to be a place where people from all around the world could come and pray to God. But their practices were distracting and making it difficult for people to spend time with God in worship and in prayer. These experiences birthed the holy discontent inside of Jesus. And he wanted to bring reform from within. So when he entered the temple, he drove out the people who were buying and selling. He turned over the tables. Next, he welcomed the blind and lame and healed them. People with special needs were another group who were being excluded from the temple. They were told that they weren't good enough, that they weren't whole enough to worship our holy God in the temple. Who here is thankful that we have a God who welcomes all people in? please hear this. God especially welcomes those who are lost, hurting, and broken. And if that's you today, I want you to know that God's arms are wide open and Jesus longs to bring his healing touch into your life. Such good news. But the religious leaders, they got upset with Jesus for messing up their status quo. And even though they saw all the wonderful things Jesus was doing, they chose to turn their backs on him. Like the people in the temple, we have to be careful that our religious life doesn't become self-serving, immoral, or exclusive. Because sometimes we can get more focused on who to keep out than on who we can bring in. More focused on what we can get than on what we can give. More focused on how others can serve us than on how we can serve God and serve others. And just like the people, we can get distracted and mess up spending time with God in worship and in prayer. If we're honest, I bet all of us have areas in our life that desperately need either Jesus' healing or his reform. And the question is, how will we respond to Jesus? Final part of our journey this morning, we join Jesus as he encounters a fig tree. Matthew 21, verses 18 through 19. Early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately, the tree withered. Seems like kind of a strange story, doesn't it? I spoke with a guy once who claimed that he was an atheist because of this story. He thought Jesus was just off his rocker for getting so upset with a silly tree. But what he didn't understand is Jesus was using this encounter as a sort of living parable to illustrate a larger problem. At the beginning of Matthew 21, we're told that Jesus came into a place called Bethphage, which means house of figs. So you kind of get a sense that there's going to be some figs there, that they're going to find fruit. The fig trees produced a huge, abundant crop of fruit twice a year, once in late spring and the other time in early autumn. This event took place in early spring, right around the time when the leaves were starting to bud. Normally, the fig fruit would grow at the same time that the leaves grew. This tree, however, even though it had a bunch of leaves, had no fruit. It looked promising from a distance, but on closer inspection, was found to be fruitless. I've been watching a show with my wife called The Great British Bake Off. Any of you seen that show? It's fun. I'm not a baker, but I enjoy it. One of the common critiques that judges will give to bakers is they'll say, "Your bake looks great, but it doesn't taste great. It has style, but no substance." And this is what Jesus found when he came into Jerusalem. They had this great, big, beautiful temple, but their religious practices were hollow and empty. The religious leaders, they put on a good front, a good holy front, but when you got up close, you didn't see any of the fruits of God's Spirit in their life. Fruits like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Instead, Jesus saw greed, fear, anger, jealousy, selfishness, and unbelief. Like the religious people in Jerusalem, we have to watch out that we don't have a religion with style and no substance. We don't want to be the kind of people who put on a good front and talk a good game. But yet when people get close, they don't see evidence of God living and moving in our lives. We don't want to be the kind of people who go through the motions only to have them be hollow and empty. Jesus came to bring us back to God so that God's fruit could grow in and through our lives once again. But sadly, the people, they turn their backs on Jesus. As the story unfolds, we realize he's not talking about fig trees anymore. He's talking about how people respond to him. And chapter 21 closes with Jesus telling a story. It starts on verse 33. And he's telling this story to the religious leaders. So Matthew 21, verse 33. Jesus says to the religious leaders, listen to this parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent another servant, more servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Jesus asked them, therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do with the tenants? They replied, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end. And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you never read? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in your eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. And they looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. You probably picked up that in this parable, the landowner was God, the vineyard was God's people, the tenants were the religious leaders, the servants were God's messengers, the prophets and priests of old, and the son was Jesus. This almost summarizes the story of God's holy discontent. That from the very beginning, God has been reaching out to us in love over and over and over and over. And yet people continue to reject God and God's messengers. And so finally, out of this tremendous act of love, God says, well, I'll send my son. And yet the people reject him too and would have him killed. But Jesus made it clear that no one will stop the Lord Almighty. Even though he would be like a stone that the builders rejected, he would rise victorious as our cornerstone so that anyone who believes in him would have a solid foundation upon which to build our lives and bear God's fruit. But if we reject him, we will end up stumbling through life and getting crushed by the weight of sin and death. Before we sing Adore the King one more time, let's track back through our journey with Jesus. We started by riding a young donkey with Jesus into Jerusalem and wrestling with the tension between the Savior we might want and the Savior we really need. Next, we visited the temple with Jesus and watched him bring reform to a religion that had become self-serving, immoral, and exclusive. And then we encountered a peculiar fig tree and considered the tragedy of living a life that might look good in appearance, but is void of the fruits of God's Spirit. I crafted a little rhyme to help us remember the lessons that we learned. Jesus came to save us from death and sin, welcome all people in, heal and reform us within, and bear God's fruit in our lives again. Would you say that with me? Jesus came to save us from death and sin, welcome all people in, bring healing and reform within, and bear God's fruit in our lives again. The question is, how will we respond to this Jesus? At the bottom of your sermon notes is a response card. If you put your name and your email, I promise I will pray for you and write to you. You can check the boxes that apply, fill out your response, then put it in an offering basket or hand it to me on your way out. You can even use the camera on your phone to scan the image at the top and fill out the form right from your phone. I'm going to give you a few moments to prayerfully consider how you can respond to the scripture and message for today, and then we'll close with song. King is coming, the one who saves. How will we respond to Jesus? We basically have only two options. Either we turn our backs on him and shout crucify, or we surrender our lives to him with shouts of praise. That's what I want to do. And if that's what you want to do, I invite you to stand to your feet, wave your palms, and praise him with all your heart.
Sing, the King is coming.
The King is coming. The King is coming. The one.
I invite you to be seated.